How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I'm glad that you're here. About to reach out to Fire Camino, see what he's been up to. It's been a while since he's been on the show. Wanted to see what he's had going on. So, give him a little call.
Hello.
Hey, there he is. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you?
I gotta tell you, I think it's the position on this earth that Starville, Mississippi has that it likes to begin raining at 4:30 when it rains, and it just throws my entire evenings off, man.
I feel you on that. And it's one of those things, like, Birmingham kind of has that, of where, like, that's how I know fall's come, because, like, it'll start raining sometime in October, and then it just won't quit until, like, January.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that's typically what I'm looking for. I mean, we got, at least what I believe in recent memory, actually having a fall and it lasting more than a week.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying it. It's been nice in the evening, sitting outside and just enjoying it.
Do you know that this is the first time in 100 years that it hasn't rained in the month of October in Alabama?
I do not doubt it, because, you know, how you were sharing about your memory of October is exactly how I know it. It's like in Forrest Gump. One day it started raining, and it didn't stop.
It just never stopped, yeah. Fucking, that's what I always say. I always joke. I said Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, England are the exact same in the fall months. It just rains all the time.
Oh, man. That's not bad. That's pretty good comparison.
I just wish we had more doom metal bands.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Man, were there some places that you wanted to go to when you were younger, and now that you're older, the desire to go to that place is just no longer there?
San Francisco. Like, I remember being a kid and being like, oh, man, I want to go to San Francisco. And you couldn't pay me an exorbitant amount of money to go to San Francisco now. Like, I have no desire in my heart to ever go there.
What, you know, what kind of changed your impression? Was it just, like, what you've seen on the internet, or what the stories you've heard, or?
Well, because when you're young and you read, like, On the Road and stuff, and you're like, oh, man, it'll be like Kerouac, and it's all, like, artsy people and stuff like that, and then it's like, no, it's a bunch of fentanyl addicts. Like, it's a fucking shithole. And, like, and it's not just, like, because when I say that, it's not from, like, some ignorant Southern, like, oh, Fox News, like, California is just going to hell and da-da-da. No, like, I know people that lived in San Francisco for years, and they're like, yeah, I'm never going back. Like, I mean, it's an informed decision, that where I'm like, yeah, I have no desire to.
Yeah.
It's like, you ever meet anyone from New York and they tell you about New York and they tell you about what a shithole it is, and then they're like, oh no, you should totally go. And it's like, why? You just spent the last 45 minutes telling me how bad it was. Why would I ever go?
You know, I remember, like, just growing up, man, and I'm sure you were probably quite the same, but probably landed right where your mark was. But what I mean by that is, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And you just start thinking, you've maybe possibly dropped out of high school, or maybe you just graduated, but you didn't make plans to go to college, whatever that looks like. If you have a car, I think there's like this internal thing that happens is, I'm just going to drive till I can't drive no more, and we're just going to see what happens. And, man, I used to fantasize, like, maybe in New York City or a Chicago or, you know, well, I don't know if I'd have enough money to make it out to California, but, you know, San Francisco for this example. And just, I mean, I'm looking at a painting on my wall right now of an artist friend of mine. He went and spent some time up in New York City. And when he got back, we happened to own the same pair of shoes. And he made a painting of the New York City street, and he left his, he had painted his shoe into it. And I was like, oh man, we wear the same shoes. And I was like, man, that's one thing I've always heard about New York City. There's just piss bottles everywhere. And he was like, piss bottles for days, my buddy. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to be around that. I don't want to see it. I don't want to think about it, you know? And here I am with a
sound appealing.
And here I am with a piece of art. You know, I guess I hang it here just to remind me to give me that feeling if I ever get to thinking wonky like that. And not
well, kind of romanticize the idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you another goofy example, dude. It's like Australia. I don't really care. That would be like a prison sentence. Everything there, and I know it's been said 100 times, can kill you.
Right.
I don't want nothing to do with those spiders, those snakes. And I tell you this right now, I don't want to be around no kangaroo. Not ever.
Right.
I heard a story the other day, and you might could help me confirm this, and it could have been years ago. I don't know. It's a very funny goof, if it's true. Somewhere in Alabama, somebody owned a kangaroo and it got loose one day. And I was like, that had to make the local news. And I'm looking for this story. I want to
find. Wasn't that in Tuscaloosa? I remember hearing this story.
Why does it feel like it was Tuscaloosa? But a kangaroo, you know how upset I would be? Like if I lived down the block from you and I've. The way that I found out you owned a kangaroo is because it come and, like, kicked my front window out?
Well, it's like the whole, like, fucking, like, remember when they had, like, Tiger King and all that? Like, that big, you know. Like, why are people allowed to just buy exotic animals? Like, I feel like you should have to ask the neighbor. Because if you have a tiger and that tiger kills you, and then that fucker's just out. You know, I have to deal with that problem now, even though it was your thing. It's the same with, like, I used to have a neighbor that owned a boa constrictor. And it's like, I don't think you should be allowed to do that.
I totally agree with that. And I'm going to tell you, I know many of our listeners, they own snakes. I know this to be true. I don't know why you own those things. Why? Okay, and here, we went straight to this, Josh. It is the cheapest pet you could own. It eats 2 mice a week. I was like, man, you got to just go down to the store and buy you a mouse every 2 weeks or every week, huh? He's like, yeah, man, dog. He went straight after dogs. He's like, if you own a big dog, man, you are spending a lot of cheddar on dog food. I'm like, well, maybe. Maybe not. Depends.
Yeah, but a dog's a friend. You can't cuddle up to a fucking snake.
I don't know. I bet they wrap this thing around their neck, Josh.
You ever seen that video of that dude having sex with a snake? It's like in India.
I don't want to talk about things like that. I can tell you that I haven't.
It's a fucked up video, but it's weird.
Sounds like it. Mercy. That's a hell of a, that's a good cold opener. Like, next time you take the stage, you should open with that. Y'all remember that old story?
Y'all ever seen that video of that dude fucking a snake?
Oh, or better yet, you have a projector behind you and you just play that in the background while y'all play.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that, of just have, like, pornography playing, like have a projector and have that in the background and then have, like, the show going on.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you, I was thinking about that yesterday. You strike me as somebody that would do that.
Well, I mean, but speaking of animal porn, like, my act is a lot like animal porn in that not a lot of people like it, but the people that do like it really, really like it.
Oh, my Lord. I like, I haven't seen them in a while. I'm sure they still do it though. But like Band of Horses, I've seen them 5 times, and every time I've seen them, different place every time. There's always a projector, and it'll be something like a sheep grazing in a pasture, just like peaceful. Peaceful little video that, and somehow with their music, it does enhance the overall vibe of it, I guess you could say.
Well, I think that's the thing, like, when you get to a certain level, like, where you're playing, like, stadiums or arenas or whatever, like, visuals are important, you know, like, you have to start going off stage shows and, you know, doing shit like that, because, like, I hate to say it, but music can only carry you so far. Like, when you get to a certain level of big, like, you do kind of need all the extra bullshit, because, like, I mean, it's just, you're trying to entertain and keep, you know, 30,000 people focused.
Yeah, that's something that's always been kind of nuts with, well, like a Bob Dylan or a Willie Nelson, or, you know, people of that caliber who, imagine you don't even have and I'm sure with some of these shows they definitely do, but, you know, you don't really have a band. I mean, you might hire guns out every now and then, but you would walk out by yourself, you and your guitar, and entertain an arena. It's pretty impressive to do by yourself.
I mean, that's like, well, I mean, even on a small level, like, it's, like, recently I've started playing with this band, and, like, you realize, like, when you're a band, like, you have so much more leeway, like, when you fuck up and stuff like that, like, it's a lot easier to cover up stuff, but also, too, like, it's a lot easier to grab people's attention, because they're cut in between four people. When you're just one dude up there on stage with your instrument, it's like, oh, fuck. Like, you really got to be on all your P's and Q's, you know?
Yeah, that is one thing I really do enjoy about playing with a band. But I don't know, like, I've been in bands that that didn't behave that way. But when you have something good to where, if you have two guitar players, hey, dude, you don't have to work near as hard now. Like, we can split the difference. We can split the work.
Right.
And that is, it's always nice. Now, it sucks when, you know, your lead guitar player or maybe your rhythm guitar player, if one or the other or both has an ego, you might have a situation on your hands.
Well, and that's often the case with guitar players. If you can meet one that, like, serves the song, they're fantastic. You know what I mean? Because they understand, like, yeah, I can do my flashy stuff, but, like, you know, I'm not Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm here to just play the song. But you meet some people that, like, they have to get their bullshit in every single time there's an open space or just throwing shit in. And it's like, you're taking away from what the song is, you know, like.
You ever seen somebody get fired halfway through a gig? Or fired somebody halfway through a gig?
No.
I've seen that happen once. And it was, dude, it was at a bar and grill, in Tupelo. And, you know, it's just think like a burger joint. It's got a bar, and it's got a little stage as you walk in there. You know how a lot of these places are set up.
Yeah.
And I'm just there watching a friend. He called and asked. I didn't have anything going that day. He called and asked if I'd come watch him play. Yeah, we'll go down there. And, man, he had brought out some accompaniment. And they had gotten, it was a 3-hour show they were playing, 3-hour set. And, they had to be like 30, 45 minutes in. And, my buddy stopped the song mid-song and he said, "That's enough." And he looked over there at the guy. He's like, you can pack up and go if you don't mind."
Well, I mean, sometimes it's better to do that than to fucking eat shit through the whole gig just because one guy don't know his shit. You know?
Yeah, and that was just such a funny moment to me. I didn't laugh out loud, but man, he made the right choice. You know, it was very apparent.
Yeah.
The show actually did get better after that guy left.
No, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't feel like what he did was wrong because it's like, listen, like, all these people are here to see us. You're fucking it up. The other guys on stage have their shit together. I have my shit together. Why are we all going to be dragged down by you?
Yes.
You know, now I did see a band absolutely fucking implode one time on stage. I don't know if I've ever told this story.
Oh, do tell.
So, I went to go see Soundgarden with Jesse in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, the last show of Chris.
No, it was like 2 weeks before he offed himself.
Yeah, I remember. I remember not being able to go to that show and being upset about it. But anyway, go ahead, man.
But Soundgarden killed it. No, they did great. And that was a fucking awesome show. But the opener was the Dillinger Escape Plan. And, oh, fuck. I have never seen anyone like... I have seen people eat shit at open mics more gracefully than I've seen this band eat shit. So, they come on stage, and they're all fucked up. And... the guitar player and the drummer are fighting before they even start the first song. So they're fighting on stage. Eventually they get it going. So there's like probably 5-10 minutes of them not playing. And they've already walked on stage. And they're fucking around fighting before they even get the first song out. So you get through like 2 songs and the singer's just absolutely fucked. And he's like, "Fuck all y'all for coming out. Fuck this audience. It's the worst audience. Fucking, we're breaking up after this tour anyway. Who gives a fucking shit?" Goes into the next number, fumbles it, tries to go back into the same number. They keep fumbling like they're not in time together. They're like, "Fuck it, go on to the next song." And the whole time, the fucking guitar player and the drummer are like fucking yelling at each other back and forth. And they probably play all of 20 minutes. It was a shit show.
I wonder how many times on such a... I would consider that to be a pretty big deal, you know, a big opportunity.
Yeah.
And to blow it in the worst possible way.
Well, that was the thing, too. Like, when Soundgarden came out and played, like, Chris Cornell's like, "Hey, I'm so sorry. We'll come back and we'll bring a better opener." So it wasn't like they didn't know. Like, they were like, "That was bad."
Yeah, dude.
To have an opportunity like that and to just absolutely shit the bed on it, like, I can't imagine.
Good Lord. I'm telling you. Man, I got secondhand embarrassment from that.
Yeah.
That's...
also, never blame the audience. Ever. They're there to see you. They're like, you know... you gotta take care of people. Especially the people that are coming out to see you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't get that weird ego or whatever about you.
Nah, that it's gonna be a deal breaker. It was recent. We had a show at Munson Brothers, and I saw something that I don't see too much. But the performer connected with the crowd early, won them over, had them singing along, had them moving around a little bit. You don't see that much.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a good night for them because the covers they picked, good covers, and they played a lot of their originals, so, you know, they were able to get the word out, like, hey, we got some stuff, too. So, congratulations to that. That's always good to see, man. Have you been to, I know you've been working a lot. We got our two redheaded workaholics right here. Josh being the numero uno, but, have you been to any shows recently?
None that I haven't played in. So I can't think the last time we talked. It's been a minute, but fucking, I played. So my band that I've been playing with, Fire, we headlined the Nick, I think 2 weeks ago. And, the opener was 88 Degrees, which was this rap group, and they're absolutely fucking incredible. They were awesome. They opened, and then I played a regular, like, folk set, and then I brought my band up, and we played a set. Went really well. To go from, we did an open mic, and then the next week, they were like, hey, you want a headline a Friday night? And we're like, yeah, fuck yeah.
It's always so nice to... Always nice to be called up like that. Very nice. Good.
Yeah.
So,
And then... Sorry.
I was just going over some details. You said 88 Degrees, and it's a local rap group?
Yes.
Very cool. How did they... if I was going to look it up, how did they spell degrees? Did they do it with a S or a Z?
No, it's... If you were going to look it up, it's... Like the number 88, and then it's DGRZ, I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's, I didn't even thought about that. That's a pretty good way. That's a pretty good way. It's always, yeah. When you have words like that, you got a real opportunity to stand out just by the way you spell it. Hell, I mean, how many people do you know that has already kind of developed their own font for, you know, their artwork or the way that their name goes on things? Pretty neat.
Well, I think that's one of those things nowadays, like, as much as I hate it, like, you know, it's not just about, like, working on the music. You almost have to, like, build a, like, an image or a brand or what. I mean, like, that's kind of the whole thing behind Fire Camino. It's like, try Googling Josh Williams. There's, like, millions of Josh Williamses. So I was like, well, I can't go by this. No one will ever find me. So, like, you know, you had to come up with something different just to stand out, you know.
Absolutely. And I think, like, just to tack on to your point is, and it should have been plain as day for me, and it's just some of the things I'm just learning about that world. I heard it was, I don't remember what comedy podcast it was, but they were talking about kind of why the backstory on why their podcasts exist.
Yeah.
And I thought they were real open and honest about the whole social media gimmick, which is rare to see. Some people always try to be dishonest about social media, but being a comedian, some of the venues that you go to perform at now, they may ask for how many followers do you have on said social media. And that's a prereq for you even to be able to be possibly booked there. And so with everything that we do online, whether it be through the website, through Instagram specifically, I think TikTok's a bigger deal now, but I think at their time it was probably Instagram. And like how they had to, you, it's no longer enough just to be entertaining. You have to be a marketer. You have to be, you know, you have to wear a lot of different suits.
Right. And I, whereas, like, back in the day, I don't feel like you had to do that as much. It's like, no, I do the one thing, and then there's other people to do all the other shit, you know?
I wonder about that all the time, Josh. I really do. Like, when we hear those old stories of how things were, and even, you know, you'll have an old hero telling a story about how it used to be is, you know, it ain't like today to where you can just pull it up. You know, there's a post about it 15 years ago that you can pull up on Instagram, you know, Facebook, whatever. And you can kind of see it for yourself and be like, I think you kind of inflating the story a little bit. So I wonder about, you know, those old stories and the way things were, if they really were that good or it was pretty true to the story, or, you know, maybe it was an even better time than they were describing it.
Well, also, too, it's what you make. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I've heard it both ways of where I hear young musicians or comedians or whatever, people that work in the talent business like we do, fucking, where they go, oh, it's so hard because nowadays you have to do all this shit with social media, and you gotta focus on content, and you gotta make these reels and da 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 da. And then you hear it on the flip side, or you hear all these old heads be like, oh, well, if we had social media and we could, you know, promote stuff, you know, if we had TikTok in our age, oh, we would have been huge and da 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 da. I feel like it's what you make it. And if you're a go-getter and you really have talent, you can make it no matter what. And to blame something on your success or failure, that's just an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, that reminds me of stories of go-getters before social media, and, you know, that where have you got to go in this country to be heard and be possibly put on the radio? Well, the guy would begin going to Nashville. He was going to the Music City and played a couple of open mics or whatever it would have been in this time. It would have been the 70s, late 70s. And, well, a couple of songwriters who were up a couple of rungs on the ladder overheard his set and asked him to be a part of their writer round. And they ripped off every one of his songs, and by the time he made it back home to wherever he was from, he was hearing his own song sung on the radio by someone that was sitting in that circle. And it drove him insane to an early grave because nobody believed him.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? And, you know, some people that knew him would report that he was a liar. And then other people would report, maybe he did write it, but there ain't no way to prove it now.
See, that is the good part about now, is like, you're out of song, shit, you can just record it, put it on Instagram, and then it's like, yeah, hey, I wrote that song December 12th, 2023, or whatever, you know, it's like, there's no arguing that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there may be something to be said about that. I think they would be ballsy, because, I mean, you would have technical proof, right, because the post is time-stamped. But when it comes to the same as when you patent an idea, when you write a song, it's still important, I think, to have it published.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think it would be the same in writing, especially if you were kind of doing poetry. And, you know, it's probably the same reason comedians do not like you to have you know, your phone while they're performing, and they're possibly working out their special that they're going to probably be recording in 3 to 6 months, you know?
Right.
But I still, and for the life of me, I won't ever understand it. People do it now with AI. They'll type into their AI whatever app they use, you know, help me out with this song. Give me a hit beat. Give me a good chord progression. Help me write the bridge. Here's what key we're in. And next thing you know, the AI has written a song, and you are, maybe you wrote the words. Maybe you have to ask the AI to help you with that too. And then, I mean, I don't know who the hell gets credit for that.
Just to play devil's advocate for the sake of conversation, like, when you look at it back in the day, like, there'd be times where, you know, people be sitting around jamming, and, like, you know, this guy would write this bit of the song, this guy would write this, or whatever. There's a lot of those old songs that's like, all right, well, Jerry Jeff Walker wrote the bridge, but Guy Clark wrote the chorus, so, like, well, who do you really give it to, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, you know that song, that David Allan Coe song, Why Don't You Ever Call Me By My Name?
Yeah, I know that one.
You know John Prine wrote the bridge on that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, that you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never even call me by my name. Yeah, fucking John Prine wrote that.
That sounds like a John Prine line now that you sing it. Definitely can hear that. I think I shared with you that I went and saw his son Tommy play, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I can't remember. What did you think of him?
I liked. He writes good songs. I enjoyed his set, but I'll tell you, and he probably runs into this every single show he plays, no matter where he plays. You get a John Prine fan in there, and if they go to see Tommy Prine thinking that he's going to play his daddy songs, they're going to have a bad night.
Yeah.
And they take it out on him. Like, I couldn't tell you, man, it had to happen 3 or 4 times before these people began to get the point that Tommy was there to play Tommy's songs. You know, he's happy that you were a John Prine fan. You know, he was too. But he's not here to play his daddy's songs tonight. And people would not apologize, Josh. They would double down. Oh, you know, I just miss you, daddy, and I heard him play this song back in, oh, it must have been 2003, and I was just hoping to hear it one more time. Well, go sit out in your car and put it in your CD player.
But, I mean, he can get past that because, I mean, look at Hank Jr. Hank Jr. played, I mean, that's all he did when he first started. You know, he was a little kid, and they brought him up on the Opry and shit, and all he did was sing Hank Sr. songs, you know. And, like, he got past that shit because he goes, look, what my daddy did is what my daddy did, but now I'm doing me, you know.
Yeah, and now... Hank III, he's very different from his dad or grandfather.
Right. And again, Hank III, when he first started, he had that shit where, oh, you gonna Hank sing your granddaddy's songs? You gonna sing your dad's songs? No, I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna do some punk rock shit.
Very cool. I ain't opposed to it, man. I'm for that. Well, dude, What else has been good? So this Playing With Fire, y'all got something coming up?
So December 13th. It's Friday the 13th. We're playing a show at LCY Media, and it's going to be kind of like a festival type show. Like, we'll have a little bit of everybody. We got some hip hop groups. I think Sago is going to be playing on it. We got a rock band, Witch Static. We got...
you say Witch's Attic?
We got... What's up?
Did you say Witch's Attic?
Witch Static.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, damn, that's a pretty heavy hitter.
No. We don't have that much money. But we got them. We got Gatsby and Etika out of Ponte. They bring their own kind of folk flavor. I'm going to do a short set. I'll probably do 10, 15 minutes before we play. And we're still building the set, so it's not a full set yet. But it's going to be a big mix of stuff. We'll have some food trucks. Be a good little night out.
And this is at LCY Media, Friday the 13th.
LCY Media, yes, sir.
Very cool, man. I just wanted to, and we'll probably plug that again at the end, but I just wanted to make sure to get that in there. Well, dude,
yeah, thank you.
What else has been on your mind there, Josh?
I've just been working like crazy. About fucking cut my thumb off yesterday, which is not good.
Not good at all. Which one?
No, the one on my left hand. So I was like, well, if you gotta lose a thumb,
you could cut your big toe off and have it put there.
Well, no, because I mean, think about it. I can still hold a guitar and not need the left thumb.
Yeah, but then like you could use that left thumb and you could really do some bar chords then.
I can't do if I had a big ass big toe to.
Yeah.
Do that fucking, you know how Hendrix would do that thing where he looped his thumb around so he played the top string and fucking. Some of those old blues guys do that shit too, where they use their thumb for like the bass string and then they do the licks with just the other finger.
I ain't no good at it, but I try to. I've been working on it. It's something I gotta practice. You know, it's like a different form. I think it's a good thing to practice. It's something good to have in your back pocket.
I ain't never been good with that, of where, like, I can kind of, like, fake finger pick, which the people that really know how to finger pick know you're bullshit. But, like, if you just, like, do your thumb and your two fingers, like the two top fingers, you can kind of half-ass finger pick and make it sound a little more folky. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but
yeah.
You're not really finger picking. You're just kind of dragging them across the string.
Like that?
I mean, that's a lot better than what I can do.
Well, if I, I got me a little tequila here, Josh, and, I haven't drank it.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Drop of it, and I've been working on the bravery. That is a new song that I just wrote.
Oh, hell yeah. Congratulations.
And I might just share it here live on the show.
I would love to hear it.
It'll be after we hang up because I'll have to sit down and, you know, mess up at least 15 times. But,
right, and then we'll cut it all out and make it sound like you nailed it the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I did want to run a few times, maybe dub some stuff. I probably won't, but, I will at least record it and then hate it. But I'm going to do my very best to share a version of that after we get done talking. Salute.
You should.
I'm going to try to
take it. I want to hear it. I want to hear more fucking Alan Aldridge. I keep saying this. Like I want you to put out another record so fucking bad.
Oh, man. I appreciate that. I don't know. I have the new record idea. We're going to start working on that in May, but I don't think I'm going to be playing on that one. But it's going to be kind of like a music discovery of Mississippi. I don't know. Have we talked about it?
Yeah, we talked about it last time I was on air.
Perfect. I don't have to do that again. Man, I've got my buddy JC here in town, and I've been going over to his house about once every 2 weeks. We've been trying to get in a little bit of a better rhythm, but he's got this great music room. He's got a keyboard already set up, got electric guitars. I brought my bass over there. We got a drum set, and man, we'll just sit over there, and I'm going to play the guitar for a little while. Then I'm going to hop over there on drums. And I've been liking some of the sounds coming out of that room, man. It's, we might get some, like, underground band recording. Maybe.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, I've asked Matt Mason, my good friend, to come be a part of it. So that we could have a true drummer. JC is his primary instrument is guitar, but if it makes noise, he can make it sing to you. He's one of those guys, and he's just a really talented guy. He's a photographer and videographer. He's the one that whenever I need some photos, that's the guy I get to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that dude's, he ain't never come across something that he ain't good at. Good guy to know. That just.
Isn't it funny how there's just certain people like that that are just like natural fucking talents? You're like, God damn, are you bad at something?
Nah, dude. Like, but I always, at least in a lot of the folks that I know's case, and maybe this is a little OCD, but what I've known, everything has to be in its place. Everything has to be put back the way it was found, and which, I mean, is something I respect in any way I try to do. It's a good way to not lose something. Very peculiar about things and cleanliness, very clean, typically a lot of clean. But I've seen it go the other way too, to where they struggle to take a bath. Have to get on to him about it. It was like, man, you stink, you reek, you need to clean up.
Do you ever have a buddy? I feel like everyone's had this growing up. Of where, do you ever have that one dude where it's like, dude, just wear fucking deodorant?
I don't know.
Come on.
I have no idea why that person, he exists in every friend group. And surely, you know, there's not a friend group to where they all decide to do it. Maybe it's called India. I don't know. But, yeah, there is somebody that is always in this group, in a room somewhere, that smells like a foot.
Yeah. You're right. Damn, man. Like, just, you know, like, and you don't want to be an ass about it because it's your buddy, but at the same time, you're like, hey.
Oh, dude, I do.
Little speed stick wouldn't kill you. You know?
Oh, and I'm very bad about that. If you're a coworker, please do not come stinky, or I will be the first one to let you know.
Dude, there's this one guy I work with. Again, I don't mean to be an ass, but I'm like, dude, you have to brush your fucking teeth.
Oh,
he's like one of those guys that gets right in your face to tell you something. You're like, oh my god.
Yeah, man. I try to. Man, I keep a toothbrush at work at my desk. After lunch, I got to do it because I will. I don't know. It's probably because of the tobacco usage, but brush my teeth in the morning. By 5 o'clock, if they ain't been brushed again, I'm talking about I can smell my own breath.
You ever get that like feeling, and I don't know if it's a mental thing or if it actually exists. You ever get that feeling where you have a coating on your teeth?
Yeah, that's
like, ah, I gotta fucking brush my teeth.
Yeah, and I get that feeling like 3 times a day. But real bad in the morning, you know, after you had slept all night.
Yeah. But listen, smoking a menthol cigarette is the exact same as brushing your teeth.
I've been told that, and doing it with a Red Bull makes it more potent.
Right. Just have a Red Bull and a fucking cool 100. You're good to go.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, there is nothing worse than kissing a girl that smokes Marlboro Lights.
See, that's where we differ. I love that shit. I want it to taste like an ashtray.
Shin, that is exactly how that is performed. A menthol cigarette is a little bit better, but if it's a light cigarette, that's going to be bad. That's not good. But you like it. You like it.
No, I used to date a girl that smoked Marlboro Black Menthols.
Oh yeah, I know the pack of cigarettes you speak of.
And like, I reminisce. Like, that is like, sometimes, literally, this is sad but it's true. Sometimes I will buy a pack of fucking Marlboro Black Menthols just to smoke because I'm like, it tastes like her lips.
Man. Brings me back.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could have went to a very funny place. We're not going to do that here.
Anyway, come on.
Not tonight. I'm behaving myself. Oh.
I respect it.
Oh, I do respect her. That's why we're not going to do it.
No, I said I respect it. I didn't say nothing about her. I said I respect it.
Oh, well, if I get enough of this damn tequila, I might tell a story.
After dark.
Oh, after dark. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what we need. I'm hoping sometime in the near future, and by that I mean probably in 10 years, but I would eventually like to, and I'm not even going for a record, because we've done it. I just never aired it because of, we were awfully messed up. But it was an 8-hour recording.
Of Forest Talks?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I'm telling you, when about hour 3 hit, till the end of it, there was, I don't think there was anything on this earth one could do to help you understand what we were talking about. So it never saw the light of day, but man, I would love to just do a 10-hour live stream.
Just, that'd be fun with like a rotating cast.
That's what I was about to say. And so, like, I think it would be very easy to pull off is a rotating cast. And maybe if they're a musician, well, when they come in and sit down, they do a quick live performance, sit down, hang out, talk for a little while, then on to the next guest.
Yeah.
Kind of how, well, no, not really. They didn't play. Because I found it ridiculous to, a couple festivals in Birmingham, like, you know, let me sit back in the green room and talk to every band, you know, after they play.
Yeah.
And we did that twice. We did that with a Earth Library festival, that record label, at the Saturn. We did it there. And I did another music festival at Bruisapalooza. At Avondale, where we got to talk to every band as they came. I love doing that. But those were quick, like 15, 20 minute interviews, which nothing wrong with that either. I don't mind that.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, when you did the Earth Libraries one, did you talk to a band called Ranger?
No. I had Monk there with me. And that was actually a band that he really wanted to talk to, but we missed them somehow.
Well, if you ever want that interview, my really good buddy John John's the drummer in that band.
Yeah, you tell John that I would be very interested in doing that sometime. That would be good.
But I love them guys. I think, like, they don't play a lot anymore, but they were, like, at that time, like, when they played that Earth Library show, I would argue they were one of the best bands in Birmingham.
Wow. Like,
they were great. Yeah.
That's a high watermark.
No, I mean, they were, like, really, really fucking, like, I don't know. They really had something. They kind of squandered it. I hate to say that, but it's true. And they even know it. I mean, you know, but, like, they were on fire.
You know, sometimes I think when you get to that position, like, I'm guessing because they were able to play that festival that they were on the Earth Library label.
Yeah, they are.
And if they were truly on fire like they were and just absolute killing it, it could have been issues trying to get to the next level to hit that next banner. You know what I mean? Like, and those are things that can completely be out of your control.
Well, no, I'm not gonna air dirty laundry, but there was a lot of shit of where it's like, hey, you fucked it yourself, you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but hey, funny little tidbit. They have a song out on Spotify, and guess who does the backup vocals on the single?
I have no idea.
The honorary third chair, Mr. Taylor Hollinsworth, does the fucking backup vocals on that song.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, speaking of that honorary third chair, I need to go see old Monk. I ain't seen him in a while.
Yeah, how is Monk?
He recently went to Portland, and I think I had him on so he could share about that. And that had to be almost a month ago. And I think he's doing well. Last I heard from him that he had gone up to Memphis or over to Orlando. And he was getting this new medical device to help him walk a little bit better. And from what I heard, seems to be improving, so hopefully that will help him get to that next place of recovery he needs to get.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, hoping for the best for him. I know, hell, if he's listening, I love you, buddy, but I know that day-to-day, and, you know, it affected his right side, and he's right-handed, and so, I mean, even I'm sure when it comes down to the simple things such as riding or using the remote, you know, whatever. You know,
it's like little shit where you're like,
it has to come to his mind time and time again. And I remember seeing my grandfather. He was a shade tree mechanic. And late in his life, he got hit with Alzheimer's and dementia. And there was many times, you know, I'm looking through the kitchen window at him, and you could just watch it, that he was brushing his hand over the ground looking for a tool, and by the time he would come across that 10 millimeter socket, because that's always what goes missing, is he had forgotten what he needed it for, and then he would just sit there, and then he would sit deep in that chair, and you could tell, like, almost felt defeated because he, you know, wasn't what he used to be.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've seen that play out, and I hope he can get back to a place that he's comfortable with, and hopefully maybe a full recovery. You can't ever count anybody out with that.
No, definitely not. And that's one of those things is like, my dad had a stroke, and like, there's a lot of things where it still fucks with him. Like, you know, like there's just certain stuff he don't like can't do, you know. And like I don't think he'll ever be fully 100% to what he was. But it's like, I mean, shit, this takes time, you know.
Yeah.
Like, because there was a minute there where I was like, oh, fuck. Like, we didn't think he was ever going to be able to walk, you know. And, like, now he's, like, driving. So it's like, you know, I don't know if he should be driving, be 100% with you, but he is.
If they let a menace like me on those highways, I think he's good to go.
Right. Yeah. It would be funny. It's like my dad would be like the perfect DUI checkpoint guy, because they're like, this guy's got to be fucked. And it's like, it blew a zero, and it's like, how?
You know, that's been my favorite thing to do when I pull up to these roadblocks, and I've come through many of them since I've had that breathalyzer device in my truck.
Yeah.
Right when I pull up, I got my license in one hand, and I have that breathalyzer device in the other, and I was like, I ain't done shit. Thank you.
Hey, maybe that's the key. Because if you just have the breathalyzer in there, even though you're, you know, hammered, like, you just pull up, and you show them, and they go, oh, well, fuck.
Listen. I ain't done shit. You gotta understand, it's just past my bedtime. Oh, I couldn't do it. I mean, that was, you know, that night I got the DUI, right when he, it was probably right when I rode my window down. Josh, I threw that beer, I hate to say it, everybody, threw it out of my window, right when I saw those blue lights. And went ahead and called the roommate, and I was like, "Man, if you're away, I'm about to go to jail." And then I pulled on up to the roadblock, and right when I rode that window down, first question: how much have you had to drink tonight?
You're like, well.
And then, you know, they shine the light into the back of the truck. It's like, oh, you got a music equipment. You a musician? I was like, I just played a show. And like, you about to be playing another show.
Yeah, that shit never helps you. Because, like, I can't tell you how many times, like, I've been coming home from the net. And, like, I have a funny thing about drinking and driving. Like, I won't. You know, I may have a beer, you know, but fucking for the most part, I won't. And you'd think cops would be cool to go, all right, he's, you know, plays guitar, whatever. Nah, they're motherfuckers. As soon as they see that guitar, they're like, all right, gotta do the breathalyzer, gotta do this. It's like, dude, what the fuck, really? You know, but my favorite thing's when you haven't had a drink all night and you're like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, dude. I gotta tell you, I'm gonna pour me another drink. I have this tequila that was gifted to me on my birthday, and it's called Terimana.
Also, happy late birthday.
Oh, thank you very much, Josh. Yeah, it's been a good 34 years of life. Thank you. Thank you to the good Lord.
Hey, you're looking young, man.
Not aging a bit. I think I may have pickled myself.
Yeah, maybe that's the key. Is like, that's the thing. If you drink enough, you preserve. It's basically like whenever they do taxidermy shit.
I've always said that about me. If I can't be taxidermied, I'll be pickled.
Yep.
Or tickled. Both. All three. Oh, man. But I'll tell you, this is a... I didn't realize this. I was looking at the back of the bottle. This is one of those small batch bottles, so there's only so many of these made a year. So I didn't. This is probably a very expensive gift. I would like to thank you, Keith, for this. Thank you. I've been enjoying it. I like to come home and have two drinks of it a night.
Do you have a favorite liquor?
Yeah, right now it's this tequila.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you though.
Yeah, whatever's free.
I'll tell you this is when it comes to a whiskey or a bourbon, I'm not very picky. I've had really good whiskey. I've had really good bourbon. I've had, you know, the Well.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I'm good with a whiskey sour or an old fashioned. When it comes to a tequila, if you're going to go on the cheaper end of it, I would prefer if we were drinking 1800.
Yeah.
And then I also like that Don Julio, but you would rarely catch me with a bottle of that because I'm not spending that much money on it.
Well, also, tequila's one of those things, like, I feel like you can kind of cheap out on whiskey. Like, blended whiskey, I'm fine with. Like, it ain't great, but, like, I can make it work. You know, like a Club 400 or a Heaven Hill.
Oh, I think I'm a member of that club, I'll tell you. I've had it many times.
Yeah.
And had many a bad evenings with it. I can't tell you. We used to throw these great parties, and by great, absolute disasters. But that's what we did with ourselves during that time. And whenever I would see a liquor bottle show up, I just knew that somebody and possibly somebodies were going to be having an incredibly bad evening. And that was true 100% of the time. So, man, I don't drink a whole lot of liquor. I'm gonna be drinking on this bottle for a while. I am having two drinks tonight, and I'll probably have a drink of it tomorrow. But I'm really doing my best to just enjoy it.
Hell yeah, that's good.
But I could but when you get a bottle like this, and I'm guessing because like I've been to those bars or fine restaurants. Oh, it's probably not even really that fine. But when you look at on their menu and for a pour of whiskey, a shot, $40. Yeah, let me see the name of that.
Lord have mercy, fuck that.
I don't think I'll be having. Y'all got the Jim Beam? Is Uncle Jim around? Could I talk to him? Or maybe George Dickel? I'm a friend of George. Or even Jack. I'm not a uncle. He's a good uncle of mine. I've seen him mess a lot of people's lives up. You could bring him over here if you will.
It is ridiculous though when you go to certain like places and like what they charge for like a shot.
Oh,
Even just bars. I mean, it's like, dude, you're gonna tell me a shot of Jägermeister is $11? The fuck is that?
Yeah. Oh, Josh, and that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Jägermeister. I took a whiff of that the other day. I don't know if I could ever have a shot of Jäger again. I think I would throw up on the spot.
Really?
And I'll be honest with you. Typically people will feel that way about a smell because they probably threw up or had a really bad experience.
Yeah.
Not the case with me. I just like I was about to take a shot of it. I was about to, you know, whatever. Take a shot of Jäger. And man, I held it up to my mouth and I smelled it and I was like, and my stomach turned and I was like, I better not.
See, I love that stuff, man. That's like, oh.
Oh, we used to, man. It was we would keep, I'm telling you, on those weekends, we would throw it down on Friday and Saturday night, Josh. And Friday and Saturday, there would be at least a fifth of Jäger in that freezer. And I'm talking the shots were going to be going around until that bottle went dry.
Yeah, Jäger's the shit. I love, like, that's where it's at with me.
I have, you know, in some of these things, like, you know, I think a movie like Superbad, you know, that, what was that, Goldschlager? Wasn't that the?
I've never seen Superbad. I don't know.
What'd you say?
I've never. Listen, we have this conversation all the time of you say a movie, and I'm like, I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh, Josh, you're gonna have to. We're gonna have to have a. How do we not make this sound gay? You're gonna have to come over to the house one day, and we're gonna do a movie night.
Look, I don't know if I want to be part of this whole porch talk, Netflix and chill thing.
I'll tell you what. We'll get a projector, and we'll grill, and the movies will be on outside.
That's fair. That's fine.
Yeah, we're not going to be watching this on a couch. That's not happening.
We're on a couch with a bucket of popcorn between us.
Oh, my Lord. All right, everybody, this has been a good episode. I've got to go. I just remembered I got to check the laundry.
They're going to be writing Porch Talk fan fiction.
Oh, I'm telling you what. I don't want to hear anything about what that ChatGPT has drawn up from us. I don't want a word.
Look, whatever y'all do with your DeviantArt accounts, we don't want
No, and I'm telling you, they're out there. They're listening. I'm taking all my social media. You never knew what I looked like. You couldn't even fathom. You could not make it if you wanted it to.
The mysterious redheaded beast.
Red. I'm shaving my head tonight, so you can't even use that against me.
Man, that is one of those things. Like, it's a dumb conversation, but I'm starting it anyway. It's so nice to have hair.
Wow. Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Because for the longest time, like, since I was welding, like, I had to just shave my head because it was so fucking hot. So you just shave your head bald and you look like a fucking neo-Nazi, but fucking it was so nice. It's nice to have hair again.
Hey, cheers, everybody, if you're out there. If you would like to take a drink with me, here it is. I'll drink to that, Josh.
You got hair for days.
I got all the hair. Dude, I need to get it cut. It was ridiculous. I actually took a ruler to it because somebody asked me, how much are you going to have taken off? So I held it, and I took a ruler, and I said, about 7 inches.
Damn.
And I'll still have plenty to go around.
Hell, you could almost do locks for love, dude.
No, they won't take mine.
Damn, yeah, it's fucked up to have cancer and be like, yeah, I have cancer, but I won't be a ginger.
No, now that wouldn't surprise me, but that simply is not the case. I have white hairs, and so with locks of love or those types, when you go to donate hair, they're looking for healthy hair. Not saying there's anything unhealthy about a white hair, but you know, they're gonna look at your hair, and if they see a white or gray hair, they're gonna be like, you cannot donate.
Huh. I didn't know that was a thing.
And and there's probably something to it, Josh. You know, I would suggest, you know, your hair starts turning gray and white, it ain't what it used to be. And there ain't a damn thing wrong with it, dude. You're just getting older. That's what shit does.
That's part of it, man.
To be honest with you, I don't like people dying their shit. Unless they're being, well, you know what? I don't like it when they do it, but I get it when they do.
Here's my thing. If you're going to dye it, be fun with it. Dye it blue. Fucking, you know, if you're going to do it, fucking commit to it, you know.
Well, you know, how wild would that be? You have, like, your crazy Guy Fieri uncle walking around with a Fu Manchu and spiky hair in blue? No, thank you. We're not doing that.
No, I love the idea of that. Like, this is the fucking...
Like, dude, I'm going to tell you, it'd be like, I see him walking down the street, and I'm just going to have to roll my window down. Uncle Larry... Dude, you gotta shave your head tonight, and that Fu Manchu, you gotta start over. What? What's going on?
What's hilarious about that is because they would think it's so badass. They would dye it like green or whatever. And they're like, oh, hell yeah, it's cool.
Oh, next.
You go to work and you're like, hey man, what's your pronouns? Hey, oh, fuck you, dude.
And you might have, you may have some of that. Look out. Look out there. They're out there. Oh, that's great. My gay Uncle Larry. Thank you.
Oh, shit.
He's probably got a blue bracelet and he's committing to shaving his head too. I don't know. We'll have to see. Oh. Dude, anything else to report, man? How we doing over there on EON?
Things are good. Band's doing great. Just like I said, we got show at LCY coming up December 13th.
Freaky Friday.
A hell of a show at Work Play. And that was kick ass.
Hell yeah. Well, Josh, I don't have anything else to do here. I think I got everything out of this pea brain that I needed to get out.
Hell yeah. Look up Playing With Fire. Best fucking new band in Birmingham. If you don't know me, Fire Camino on Instagram. Fucking, I love all of you. Good night and God bless.
Right on. That was Fire Camino, everybody. Appreciate your time tonight, Josh.
And I used to drive her crazy late at night with a fine point pen I'd write, and I'll continue loving you if you do the same in this unplanned paradise. And I'm certainly the fool, bamboozled, caught in the bag. And while you move on, well, I'm stuck in this a fool's paradise. And we take the bus into the outskirts of town, dance like we held the keys. And this time I rode on that old flame die, a song spring up and the creek she rise. And I'm certainly the fool, bamboozled, caught in the bank. And while you move on, why I'm stuck in this fool's paradise. La da da, la da da, la da da. If you pass the dock and through that old town, coyotes will howl at what they've found. And it wasn't my place to hold on for so long. Ain't no use turning around, 'cause I'm your fool. You're a fool. I'm your fool. in this. Paradise.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.